Hello everybody, Merry Christmas.
Welcome to our nativity.
Come on everyone, up on your feet and join us singing Oh What a Glorious Night.
The shepherds came to see the baby, stood by his mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night. Oh, what a glorious night. I hear the angels sing.
Christmas tree's favourite candy? Ornaments.
Good morning to you and welcome to our family Christmas service with its special emphasis on the children. Just a few announcements and notices to share. Once again, talking about children, just want to thank everyone who has contributed to the 800 advent calendars and books that we have been able to distribute to schools and to other people this Christmas time. Please continue to pray that as they munch their way through those chocolates, they'll also look at the book, the activities that are there, but especially because it tells the true story about Christmas and all that Christmas means to us because of Jesus Christ. Also like to thank everyone who has contributed to a local emergency. Those living in Silverdale in particular will be aware that there was a house fire that has just basically ruined the building and the family have had to move out. We've been able to provide some help in terms of storage, but also we want to contribute towards helping them to getting back on their feet. So please remember to pray for that family. And if you'd like to make any contributions, they'll obviously be gratefully received. Also to mention that between Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, our charity shop is open. If you've got stuff to contribute that would be good for people in the community, you may be looking for some bargains this Christmas when, you know, financially a lot of people have been stretched because of this COVID crisis, that would be great. And if you can volunteer any time as well, that would be very much appreciated. Just to mention some of our upcoming services, next Sunday we will be having our carol service. Normally in the church we do that by candlelight. We won't be able to do that this year, but it will be that mixture of the Bible readings about the Lord Jesus Christ being prophesied, his birth being prophesied, about his birth in the manger, the traditional carols as well. So that's next Sunday. Just after that, a few days after that, on Christmas Eve, which is the Thursday, obviously the 24th, we're having a nativity trail. You may have read in the Bible about the wise men following the star as they were on their journey. This will probably be a little bit more high tech in the area around the church and in the shops. We'll start at 11. It'll be over by 1, mainly for younger children. But Michelle will say a little bit more about that.
Hi, everyone. So our nativity trail on Christmas Eve. I'm so excited. Basically, the way it's going to work is some of the shops around the village have given us permission to put up a poster which will look something like this. And if you can see at the bottom, these funny black boxes with funny squiggly bits in, they are called QR codes. And on your camera phone, on your phone, you should be able to try and take a picture of a QR code, and instead it will lead you to a website. The website it leads you to is either the next venue, or this one's got two. One leads you to the next venue, the next nativity character, and the other one leads you to a special website with a very, very short Christmas message and a letter for a clue. You see, there are a few letters hidden in these videos as well, which at the end, you should be able to spell a word. And when you've been around to all the shops with these in and come back to us at the church, if you can tell us the special word, we will give you a prize. Oh, I'm so excited. The session will run between 11 and 1, and it won't take that long. It just depends how fast it takes you to walk around the shops. But basically, I think it would take you probably 20 minutes to half an hour maximum. So we've allowed for a 2-hour slot just so that we're not all crowding at the same time, because obviously we've still got to think about COVID and social distancing and things, haven't we? So you'll follow the trail around the shops and come back to us at church for a prize. I can't wait to see you all. I'm so excited for our nativity trail. Oh, and if any of you adults would like to come along and perhaps dress up to help the children find their way around, that would be awesome. God bless you.
On Christmas Day, we will have a service that will go out on YouTube and Facebook. We're not doing it via Zoom because not everyone can access Zoom. And obviously on Christmas Day, there's usually lots of other stuff going on as well. One of the things that will be different this year, of course, is that we won't have an opportunity for children to share their presents, you know, to talk about what they've had on Christmas morning. Usually that's an integral part of our service. But what we're asking you to do is if people could, just using WhatsApp, take a video of their children opening their presents, or maybe just saying something about their favorite present. If actually on Christmas Day in the afternoon, you could WhatsApp that and send it through to Michelle, what we're going to try and do is get a little compilation of children with their presents that we can show on the Sunday. Obviously, the Sunday is the day after Boxing Day, so it will be a little bit of a rush, and hopefully we can manage to deal with all the technology that is involved there. So any clips you've got of your children on Christmas Day, please send them to Michelle. And thanks to Michelle, and especially as well to Malcolm, who puts all this together week by week. Just such a great job. Thank you, and God bless you. Depending on when you're watching this service, if you're watching this in the morning, don't forget that between 12:15 and 12:45, we have our virtual cafe. Just invite people to come along and just share in chat and fellowship. Got any questions, we can talk about those as well. So please make use of that. I hope that's all helpful. We're going to continue with this Christmas service now. I'm delighted to thank Pauline, who's going to open in prayer. So thank you, and God bless you. Thank you, Pauline.
Good morning, everyone. Let's pray. Dear God, as it is our nativity service today, let's pray for the children. It has been a very difficult time over the last months, causing much stress and anxiety for them. We pray now that Christmas time is upon us. They will be looking forward to Christmas Day and getting very excited about the gifts they may receive. But let's not forget the children who are less fortunate because of financial problems, etc. And also for these children who are having to live with social and domestic abuse every day. We pray that you will hold them in your arms, Lord, and surround them with love and peace and keep them safe. And let's not forget the real meaning of Christmas and say thank you, God, for the amazing nativity story that tells us all about the birth of Jesus. Let us say thank you for sending us your Son, the gift unto this world. And as we open our gifts, remind us that Jesus was the best gift ever, and to share the light of hope and gift of Jesus to the whole world. Amen.
Amen, and thank you, Auntie Pauline. Okay, it's time. It's for our nativity poem called It Begins in Bethlehem.
A woman called Mary was doing her chores. Just then, an angel arrived, but not through the doors. She simply appeared and she dropped to the floor. Hello, Mary, he said. God is with you.
God is with me, she wondered, but what does that mean? What's all this about? Is it some kind of dream? The angel just smiled. Don't be scared. Don't scream. God is happy with you and will bless you.
Have a baby. A special baby. Jesus, God's son. King David sitting on the throne and his kingdom will last forever.
But how, Mary asks, I don't understand. I'm engaged to be wed, but he's not yet my man.
Trust God, said the angel. He's got it all planned. His spirit will come upon you.
God knocks down the proud and lifts up the meek, and does mighty things for those who are weak, and blesses the ones whose service he seeks. So sing out his praise, he's amazing.
All night Joseph tossed, all night Joseph turned. He just couldn't sleep, he'd only just learned that Mary was pregnant. What's more, she'd confirmed that the baby she bore was not his. Joseph, don't worry, Joseph, don't weep. Lay down your head and go back to sleep. Mary's been faithful, her love strong and deep, and her baby is God's own son. She told him his tale, an angelic visit, a son to be born by God's Holy Spirit. The more she went on, the less he believed it. He wanted to break their engagement.
But just as sleep came, that angel appeared. Don't worry, he said, there's nothing to fear. I know your trouble. You need to hear that Mary is telling the truth. The baby she bears is God's holy son. Call his name Jesus, for he is the one God promised to send to save everyone. Emmanuel, God is with us.
He's the answer to all that the prophets have said. So keep your engagements, be glad and be wed. And when Joseph woke up, that's just what he did. He took Mary to be his wife. Action!
Joseph, don't worry. Joseph, don't weep. Lay down your head and go back to sleep. Mary's been faithful. Her love's strong and deep. And her baby is God's own son.
God looks down the proud and lifts up the meek.
And does mighty things for those who are weak.
And blesses the ones
whose service he seeks.
So sing out his praise.
He's amazing!
What is the best thing to put into Christmas dinner? Your teeth.
Shepherds lying on a hill, the night was silent, all was still. They watched their flock of grazing sheep and tried hard not to fall asleep. When bright and white an angel came, to light the night a fiery flame. The shepherds trembled where they lay. The angel said, don't be afraid. Sing peace to God and give him glory. Celebrate his wondrous story of love and joy and peace to men, for it begins in Bethlehem.
The news is good, the news I bring. Good news to make you leap and sing. Good news for people everywhere. Good news of joy for all to share. Good news, for God has kept his word and sent his Saviour, Christ the Lord. The one he promised he would send is born this day in Bethlehem.
And this will be a sign for you, and this is how you'll know it's true. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth, sleeping in a cattle trough.
The angel then was joined by more, 6 and 12 and 24, and then too many to number, a heaven choir loud as thunder.
And so the angels left that place, just like they'd come without a trace, except for all they sang and said, which echoes in the shepherds' heads.
Let's go to Bethlehem and see the shepherds all. As one agreed, they found the baby where he lay, asleep upon the bed of hay.
And now here's Bethany, Elliot and Skylar singing a little song to the tune of Here We Go Round the Mulberry Bush, but it's the Shepherds Go Down to Bethlehem. I hope you'll join in.
On Christmas Day in the morning.
In the morning.
Elliot.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem.
Christmas Day in the morning. The shepherds found Jesus. On Christmas Day in the morning, they worship the baby.
On Christmas Day in the morning,
I can't do.
Knocks down the proud and lifts up the meek, and does mighty things for those who are weak, and blesses the ones whose service he seeks. So sing out his praise, he's amazing.
They told them what the angel said, then Mary smiled and raised her head, a secret hid there in her eyes, for she was not one bit surprised.
Back they went, sheep and hill, no longer silent, hardly still, but singing loud like angels, bright of all that they have seen that night.
Sing praise to God and give him glory, celebrate his wondrous story, of love and joy and peace to men, for it begins in Bethlehem.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star, lead the wise men from afar. Up, up, up the sky so bright, little lighting in the heavenly light. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, now we know just where you are.
Star watchers watch the stars go by,
looking for secrets in the sky. And then they saw a special star, away in the west, away afar.
A king has been born, that's what it means, Judea is the way, or so it seems. They climbed aboard their camely beasts and set off west from their homes back east.
One hump, two humps, lumply lump, the star watchers went with a bump and a thump. One hump, two humps, lumpity lump, the star watchers followed the star.
Twinkle, twinkle,
twinkle star.
Way up,
high. Way up, shine me bright up to the sea. I know the way to the city. Room, room.
At last their journey came to an end. They parked their camels in Jerusalem. Then they went to Herod, king of the nation, to ask him for some information.
O king, they asked, they were quite polite.
Somewhere round here, in this starry night,
a brand new baby king abides.
Can you please tell us where this child resides?
A worried look crossed Herod's face. He did not have any plans to be replaced, so he asked his priests if he could tell where this baby king might dwell.
Saul answered straight away, Bethlehem is what the prophets say. Then Herod thought of an evil thing. I think I need to meet this king.
Star watchers, friends, King Herod smiled. In Bethlehem you'll find the child. Would you tell me where you find him, please? The exact address will put my mind at ease.
Herod, of course, told them a lie. He'd already planned for the child to die.
When he found the boy, that's what he'd do. So the star watchers left without a clue.
The shining star led them to the place, a simple house, not some fancy place. When they saw the little boy, they gave him a pile of special toys.
Merry Christmas, everyone!
Presents rather fit for a king. A bunch of shiny golden things. A spice called myrrh. A sort of perfume, while smelly frankincense filled the room.
Then in the night, they had a dream that showed them Herod's evil scheme. So they never said where the boy's house lay, but went straight home by another way.
One hump, two hump, lumpty lump. The star watchers went with a bump and a thump. One hump, two humps, lumpty lump. The star watchers followed the star.
God knocks down the proud and lifts up the meek and does mighty things for those who are weak. And blesses the ones whose service he seeks. So sing out his praises, he's amazing.
A present for you. So, what is the point of angels and shepherds and camels and stars, you say? Is it just a nice story to tell the children to celebrate Christmas Day? It's not just a story. It's not just for kids. It's the hinge on which history swings. That Bethlehem baby grew into a man who challenged all powers and kings.
He taught us that love is better than hate, that serving beats being in charge. He showed us the value of each human life, the little as well as the large. And then on a cross he died for us, died to take all our wrongs away, and walked 3 days later right out of that tomb to turn death's dark night into day. And that is the good news the angels proclaimed, the heart of all Jesus would do. A new life for now, a new life forever. That's his Christmas present to you.
And if you would like to accept the free gift of having Jesus in your life, you can say this prayer with me now. Dear God, I admit that I do things wrong and mess up. God, I believe that you sent Jesus. He lived, he died, and he rose again for me. And I choose to accept his gift of forgiveness and want to have Jesus in my life. In his precious name I pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, that's fantastic. You now have Jesus in your life, and God bless you. And do tell us about it. And now we're going to pray with Olivia.
Dear God, thank you for our nativity service and bless everyone who watches and everyone who took part. Help us stay safe this Christmas. Help us be kind to others. Help us remember that Jesus is the reason for the season. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Olivia. And thank you, everyone who took part. That was fantastic. And now, one of our little fish friends, Oscar, is doing a real happy dance for us while we sing We Wish You a Merry Christmas. And a happy new year. Glad tidings we bring to you and your kin. Glad tidings for Christmas and a happy new year.
What name did Santa give his dog? Santa Paws.
Well, everyone, I hope you've really been enjoying our nativity so far and the performances from the children and the young people. Haven't they done so well? And I know you've been joining in with the songs as well. Well done, everybody. So, thinking about Christmas, wanted to share a bit of a funny story with you. When Michael was off work the other week, I asked him if he could do me a little favour. We'd got some nativity books to give to our little fish families. And Michael was at a bit of a loss of what to do, so I said to him, why don't you take the dog for a walk and walk around Silverdale and drop off some of these cards and books for me. Oh, that's a lovely idea. I'd quite like to do that, he said. So off he went, and he came back and he delivered them all. No problem. Fantastic. Well, a few days later on Facebook, I saw this strange post, and there was a blurry photograph of a man. And then these comments saying, do you know who this man is? Have you seen this man? He was acting really strangely around these certain streets in Silverdale. I've videoed him. You can see him spinning around. He's been looking in gardens, and we don't know whether he's spinning around as some signal to these gang members. Watch your gardens, watch your doors, make sure your cars are locked. All these really unpleasant comments followed underneath. Oh, can't believe it, Christmas time and all the robbers are out, and all this really negative stuff. Anyway, I clicked on the actual post, and there was the video that went with it. And when I played the video, it was Michael and Bruce. And Michael had been, obviously, wasn't sure where the houses were, wasn't sure which even street he was in, not living in Silverdale. So he's looking at his phone for his map. And as he's trying to get in his bag and look at his phone, the dog, of course, on his long lead is running rings around him. So he's spinning round, and he does, to be honest, he looks a bit dodgy and doesn't quite look like he knows what's going on. But all these posts underneath were like, oh, have you phoned the police? What's going on? And I thought, oh my goodness, I showed Michael the post, and well, he didn't laugh very much, but I laughed and Shannon laughed. And because it really was a case of mistaken identity. But then I noticed, and I was really thankful, that one particular mum from the Little Fish group, she posted and said, oh, come on, guys, you know, there's no need for this. I know who that man is. He's from the church and he's delivering some lovely nativity books to children from the playgroup. So, you know, one person had stuck up for Michael, but still there were all these loads and loads of negative posts. And in the end, I did post under there and put, hi, everyone. Yeah, this is my husband and my dog. And I can confirm that, you know, they weren't doing anything dodgy. They were on behalf of the playgroup delivering books and cards to our families. And I do have some spare nativity books if anybody would like one for their children. However, I won't send my husband and dog around with them in case he gets lynched. So that caused a few laughs. And then the post got removed and that was fine. But it did get me thinking about mistaken identity, because something really bad could have happened then, couldn't it? We could have ended up with the police knocking on the door. You know, what are you doing? Why have you been scouting out people's houses? And I can just imagine Michael in a lineup, you know. Wasn't me, you know. Funny, but quite scary as well. And there's a lot of mistaken identity and identity theft and stuff that goes on at Christmas time, isn't there? So people are on the guard and trying to make sure that everyone's safe, which is a good thing. But thinking about identity and Christmas and things being stolen, I couldn't help but think of one of my favourite films and books, really, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And in our house, it is a bit of a joke that Michael is a bit like the Grinch, because, you know, he'll say, why have you bought another lot of Christmas lights? Why have you bought them stickers for the window? Why have you bought the dog a Christmas present? He is a bit of a, yeah, he's a bit of a grumpy Grinch when it comes to Christmas. So I have put a picture on of Michael looking like the Grinch. Sorry if you're listening to this on a CD or just on an audio file and you can't see, but it is a very funny picture of Michael seriously looking like the Grinch who stole Christmas. Have you read the book or seen the film? Dr. Seuss and the Grinch Who Stole Christmas. If you haven't, I would highly recommend it. And there's loads of different film versions and cartoons out at the moment for it as well. But basically the story is this, that there's a beautiful place called Whoville. And the people who live in Whoville are called the Whos. And then there is the Grinch. And the Grinch lives by himself up the top of the mountain. And he has a dog and he's very, very miserable. In fact, it says that the Grinch's heart is two sizes too small. He's mean, he's angry, he doesn't like what he sees in Whoville. He sees all the Whos with their Christmas trees and decorations and celebrations, and it makes him really, really angry. So he decides that he's going to steal Christmas. Wow. But can you actually steal Christmas? I suppose it depends on what your Christmas is all about, doesn't it? What the identity of Christmas is in your house and with your family. Could your Christmas identity be stolen, I wonder? You know, it's easy when we look around. You go to the shops and everything is about Santa and elves and trees and stockings and presents. And it's quite easy to see a lot of the time that that is where the identity of Christmas lies, in stuff, Christmas stuff. People seem to have forgotten Christmas is all about the birth of Christ. You know, of course, there's nothing really inherently wrong with joining in the celebrations and having your decorations and trees up, as long as we are not making that the important focus of our Christmas. Where is Jesus in it all? Do people see Jesus in you and me, or adults? Are you one of these people who goes shopping and gets trolley rage because everywhere's busy and you can't get through and your shopping's piled high in your trolley? Stuff that's only going to get thrown in the bin after Christmas because you're not possibly going to eat it all. And yet at those same supermarkets, there's homeless people starving outside. Maybe you are madly waiting for hours and hours in a queue to get on the Debenhams closing down sale to take advantage of all those bargains from a shop that's closing down. Maybe you're stressing because you haven't been able to get that perfect present, that latest LOL doll or the latest PlayStation console that seems to be sold out everywhere. And maybe that's making you really angry and frustrated. Is that what people see in you? Is that your identity at Christmas time? And for your children as well. What do your friends see in you at Christmas time? Do they see a list a mile long of all the amazing technology and gadgets that you're asking for? Are you going to get really grumpy and miserable and cry and throw a fit on Christmas morning if you don't open that really expensive gift that you've so desperately asked for? Will you tear through your presents? Rip, 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 excited, excited. Not without even thinking about who spent time to get that gift for you. The thought that went into it and the money that it cost. Are you just bothered about what's inside that gift? and not the thought behind it. What is your identity at Christmas time? Do people see Jesus in us? Do people see Jesus in you and me, in our actions and the things we do at Christmas time? You know, please don't get me wrong. I love Christmas. I love decorating my home, thinking about what gifts to buy for family and special friends. I love the glitter and the sparkle and the messy crafts. But that shouldn't be all that people see in me and in us at Christmas time. That shouldn't be our identity. Those are the kind of things that someone like the Grinch can steal, aren't they? He steals all of the Christmas stuff. He steals the presents, he steals the food, the decorations, absolutely everything. And he bundles it all on his sleigh and takes it to the top of the hill where he is about to throw it off the edge and destroy it all. Ha ha, that nasty Grinch. This year, to be honest, I'm finding Christmas quite difficult. It's quite strange. Because I usually am doing messy Christmas and crafts and activities, and I miss all the children. I miss doing the assemblies. I miss going out with parcels for those who are ill or vulnerable and elderly. I miss you. I miss people. I miss being around you all. Not because I miss the stuff, but because I miss spending time with you, sharing the real meaning of Christmas. Sharing the real identity of Christmas time, which of course is Jesus. I miss being able to share in a real practical way the love of Jesus with you all. I really miss that. You know, I've heard people saying that COVID is stealing our Christmas. COVID is a bit like the Grinch who is stealing Christmas. But you can only steal it if your Christmas is stuff. COVID can only spoil your Christmas if your Christmas is about stuff. And how many parties you can go to. Jesus didn't come to earth for stuff, did he? The identity of Christmas isn't in stuff. The identity of Christmas is in Jesus. Jesus, who came to earth, born as a tiny baby in a manger. Mary and Joseph knew his identity as the Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us. God had told them through his angel. And the shepherds, they were told by the angel. They were told the identity and the place of the new baby. They were told that he was the king. They were told to go and worship him. They knew his identity before they'd even met him. And later, the wise men followed a special star, didn't they? They followed the star to see the fulfillment of the prophecy that had told them that the newborn king, the saviour, was going to be born in a little place called Bethlehem, the one who would save us all. And they bought gifts because they recognised his identity. They bought the gold, the frankincense and myrrh, those gifts that show the kingship, the holiness, and of course, that Jesus would die for each one of us. Our identity is in Jesus, and of course, there are so many verses throughout the Bible that tell us what our identity is. You know, John 1:12, we are children of the King. Ephesians 1:5, we are adopted as sons and daughters of God because of Jesus. Genesis 1:27, we are created in the image of God. 1 Peter 2:9, we are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We have a beautiful identity in Jesus, don't we? We aren't criminals in an identity parade. And we certainly aren't the Grinch, or we shouldn't be. When people see us, they should see the light of Jesus shining through us. Our identity is in Jesus. Matthew 5:14 to 16 from the Message version says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colours in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. And now that I've put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house, be generous with your lives. And by opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God, this generous Father. I love that. I love that that's our challenge as well at this Christmas time. Let's let our God colours shine for all to see. Let the people around us see through our thoughts, our actions and deed that our identity is in Jesus. Our identity is a family of God. Let them see the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, helping us to give all that we have and all that we are as our gift back to God the Father, giving him all the glory, honour and praise. And in doing so, we share the real meaning and the real identity of Christmas time, don't we? You know, there are lots of practical things that you can do to help share Jesus this Christmas time with the people around you. Perhaps you could get a nativity scene like this and put it in your window. Perhaps you could invite a friend to watch a special service with you on a watch party, or share the link with them on YouTube and then talk to them afterwards about the Christmas message. Maybe you could write a special letter or card to a friend, telling them how special you think they are and how the greatest gift that they could have this Christmas would be the gift of Jesus in their lives. Maybe you could cook a meal or bake a cake for someone you know who is struggling and drop it off for them, sticking to the COVID rules, of course. Perhaps you can flood your social media with posts about Jesus. You know, share our church daily readings, the daily devotionals that Pastor Peter's doing. There's so many things that really don't cost a single penny that we can do to make sure that we are sharing Jesus and being that shining light. I love the ending of The Grinch. His plans to steal Christmas fail. The Who's in Whoville, he hears them. They're not sad and angry and fed up and miserable that he's destroyed and stolen everything. They start singing. And they start holding hands and having time together. And the words say, maybe Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store. Maybe Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more. And you know, that Grinch, he goes and joins the festivities. He gives them all the stuff back because he's realised that for them, Christmas isn't about the stuff anyway. It's about time together, loving one another. So let's not let our Christmas identity be in stuff, eh? Let the only stuff in our Christmas be the stuffing in the turkey. Let us do our best to bring out our God colours in the world. And let us share Jesus as the true identity of Christmas with those around us, in everything that we do and everything that we say. And let's help bring back the identity of Christmas to focus on Jesus, our Lord and Saviour.
Let's pray together, shall we?
Father God, we are so thankful for Christmas time. We're so thankful that you love us so much that you sent your only Son down to earth. We thank you so much for Jesus, for his birth, which we celebrate at Christmas, and for his life, his death and resurrection. Father God, help us this Christmas to live in a way which is pleasing to you. Help us not to be greedy, wasteful, selfish and angry, but help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to show love, compassion, kindness and self-control in all we do this Christmas and always, so that others will see and be drawn to you. Father God, help us to help those in need this Christmas, and help us to share your love. Help us to remember and share the true identity of Christmas, the time to celebrate Jesus. Be with us and bless us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you for listening. And as we've been thinking about our identity in Jesus, here's beautiful Poppy singing a very special song that reminds us that we should be thankful for all that God has blessed us with, and that everything we have we can give back to God as our gift to him.
Every song I sing, every praise I bring.
That was really beautiful. It brought a tear to my eye, and I'm sure to some others out there watching and listening today as well. Thank you, Poppy.
And just before we finish our service today, we have our young people bringing you some information. And I wonder if, by what I'm wearing, you can guess what they are talking about. I have something orange on my head. Oh, there goes the light off the top of my head. I have a red ribbon around me. And for earrings, I have some chocolates. Any ideas? Oh, I am a Christingle orange, of course. And if you don't know what a Christingle is, our young people are going to tell you all about it. And maybe at home you've got an orange, some red ribbon or tape, a candle and some cocktail sticks and sweets ready to make your Christingle. You know, maybe you could make one and go and give it to a friend and tell them a little bit more about keeping Christ in Christmas. God bless you. Enjoy.
Helena, and these two are my brothers.
My name is Daniel.
My name is Edison.
Today we'll be talking about a very special fruit.
Bananas!
No.
Ooh, bananas.
Yeah, it's not bananas.
Apples!
Ooh, apples, big or small.
Well, it's not apples, so.
Pears!
Ooh, pears.
It's not pears. Ooh.
Giant oranges!
That's a pomelo, so... Yeah, now that's a proper orange. But they can also be called clementines and tangerines. They're all types of oranges, just small oranges. So, have you guys ever found oranges inside your stockings? Do you know why you find oranges in your stockings? Well, if you do find oranges, there are many theories on this. But the main one is the one about St. Nicholas. You know who St. Nicholas is?
I think so.
Yeah.
He's Santa!
Yeah, that's the most common way of describing him. Yeah, he is similar to Santa because basically, he's really rich.
He has a big white beard, right?
I don't know.
And he wears a red hat, doesn't he?
No, I don't think so.
Does he have Rudolph? We have to figure it out.
No. Basically, he was born in the Mediterranean. He was really rich. So he liked helping the poor and he became a bishop and everything's happy. And then he met a poor man. He had three daughters, but he didn't have a drowry for them. I'm pretty sure none of you know what a drowry is. That's
It means when you're drowning.
No. Drowry is basically, yeah, when you want your daughter to get married, you have to provide a large sum-ish of money. This guy didn't have money, so he couldn't provide a drowry. Pretty sad. So Nicholas, after that, he threw three bags of gold down the chimney and it landed into the three girls' stockings, which were hanging out on the fire to dry. No, not Santa. And basically what happened was the oranges are supposed to represent the small gold, circular gold that were thrown down the chimney. Also, oranges and clementines were a sign of wealth and power. Since there were no chill transports like fridges, people had to ship them across to the UK, right? And most of the oranges probably go bad by then, so it wouldn't be edible. But we're very, very lucky now. We have fridges and stuff, so we can eat the oranges anytime we like. After the World War, there was a Great Depression where people had no money and everything was scarce. So normally, children wouldn't find anything in their stockings. But an orange, if you found an orange, that was actually considered a really great luxury. Which is very good. And then, children would make a Christingle on Christmas from an orange decorated with a red tape and a candle. And each part of the Christingle has a special meaning. The orange represents the world. So, that's what oranges are. And if you didn't know that oranges stand for the most strangest and nicest kind of reason, then now you know. Oranges represent power, wealth, love, and the world, and luxury. Yeah, thank you.
Hi all, it's Simon and Precious here, and we are going to tell you about what cocktails, sticks, and sweets represent on a Christingle. A Christingle consists of four cocktail sticks. When making a Christingle, you need to pierce an orange with a cocktail stick. If you don't have any cocktail stick, you can replace this with any sharp object, including toothpick. And also, make sure you have an adult to help you with this so you don't get injured.
You also have to put sweets on a cocktail stick. So each cocktail stick contains approximately 3 to 4 sweets. And if you don't have any sweets, then you could replace them with raisins or any other healthy snack. And make sure when you're putting the sweets on the cocktail sticks, you wash your hands. So what do you guys think this represents? If you didn't know, this represents the four seasons that God has given us. So that's summer, winter, autumn, and spring. It also represents the good gifts that God has given us. Everyone at home, think about the best gift that you have got. Do you want me to tell you mine? Well, mine is the most important one. It's the gift of life. And I think we should all be very grateful for that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And today we'll be telling you more about what the red ribbon represents in the Christingle.
The red ribbon on a Christingle represents the love and blood of Christ.
The blood is meaning that when someone says to you, you're covered by the blood of Jesus, it means that your debt has been paid for and that you're forgiven. It also shows Jesus bleeding on the cross.
The love of Jesus means that Jesus loves you and protects you always. Amen.
Hi, I am Sam. I would like to talk about what a candle represents in a Christingle. Insert the candle into the center of the orange. If there is any difficulty, ask an adult. Then light the candle with adult supervision. The lit candle represents that Jesus is the light of the world. God bless you and thank you.
I hope you had a good day and Merry Christmas and have a Happy New Year. Thank you for the pomelo. Bye.
Thanks everyone for teaching us a bit more about a Christingle. I hope you enjoy making yours.
So we'll finish our service today by singing my favourite rehashed version of So Here It Is, Merry Christmas, Christian style. So come on, up on your feet, enjoy, and let's all sing and dance along at home. God bless you with a wonderful Jesus-filled Christmas. Love you all.
So and God bless you all. Goodbye.